breaking news.
Finally!
There's a new afternoon show on the Score.
Finally!
Hey, I'm back.
Lawrence Holmes!
That's him. That's Lawrence Holmes.
Put a star on it!
Hi, I'm Lawrence Holmes.
Nice to meet you.
Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes.
There's a show. That's a show.
We searched far and wide for the perfect partner to pair with Lawrence Holmes.
Where's Speaks?
I'm right here.
When I came to the conclusion that we had to make a change, I started thinking about who's out there. One of the things that I owe the fans is to get better as fast as we can possibly get better. I realized that if you bring in somebody from the outside, it's going to take them a year. And here I had somebody inside.
Matt Spiegel, you're the most powerful talk show voice in Chicago.
You know, Spiegel, I was wondering, you're kind of like me now. Eventually, like, you start to wonder if it's you. They keep changing the quarterback around me. Maybe it was me. You know, when they keep changing your partner, you maybe start to wonder, maybe you're the problem there.
Oh, man, I've looked inward, Olin. I really have. Yeah. I've really looked
We're
inward.
All right, look in the mirror.
Partners are overrated, Olin. they're completely and utterly overrated, you know?
Take a look at yourself
and make a change. Two Score guys.
Matt Spiegel got on with some takes that were pure gold.
I started in 94 as an intern.
Very talented Lawrence Holmes.
Mine was May 8th, 1998.
Lawrence can do just about everything.
Yeah, he can.
He's very good, very knowledgeable about sports. All sports, as a matter of fact.
We love Coach Spiegel.
The baseball president.
Coach Spiegel is fantastic.
Always look forward to saying my two favorite words in show business.
Lot of hoes.
I have the driver in my bag and I don't like using it all the time because that's silly to use it all the time. Today's the day for the driver.
Now watch this drive.
All right, Bears football.
Okay, awesome.
Thank you. The Bears.
Oh my God. Lame, boo. Tomato. I'm throwing tomatoes.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
That's right.
That'll work.
There's a new afternoon show in town, and it's Spiegel and Holmes.
Got a sheriff star? Need one? We both need one?
Yeah, I think we should do that. That should be a thing. It could be like Blazing Saddles.
With less N-words, I think, would be my suggestion.
I would say yes.
Hot start, dude. Welcome, Lawrence.
Yeah,
this is just what we deal with.
Hey, man.
Bring
day.
Up the Holocaust, Pete.
No.
Talk Holocaust.
Dude, no? I watched Blazing Saddles with the Roobster a few months back.
That's a fun movie.
Thank you, Daniel Norris. It was funny as hell. It was really good, but there was like a bunch of N-words in there. I'm like, I'm going to need to explain this.
Okay, so, Speaks, let me help you out here.
All right.
This is... Whew, man, you guys weren't kidding, were you?
What'd I do?
Nothing. Let me help you out
something?
Here.
Don't even say that.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
One, that's probably a bad idea.
Okay.
Secondly, B, say people saying the N-word
That's what I meant. Oh, right, of course.
What did I do wrong?
I meant that the words themselves were in the movie. I was referring to the dialogue. Really? All right, well, we had a good run.
Yeah.
You know, we had a hell of a run.
Tannehill and Reardon coming up next.
No, I think you're safe. I think you're safe.
I don't know.
Oh, man, this is going to be good. They're gone, and there ain't nothing you could do about it.
This is
or something like that.
What I'm really excited about, and look, I love everyone here. I've got relationships going back a long ways with everyone who's on this show.
It's true.
Chris Tannehill is inside my mind.
That's how he works, man.
Because what we used to be able to do on the nighttime show and the stuff that we used to get away with, so having him available, knowing that he's inside my mind, is a really, really good thing. We are happy that you're here. Am I supposed to meet them?
Well,
at
yeah,
some
welcome
point?
In. Hey, Mob, this is Lawrence. Lawrence, this is the Mob. The afternoon show, Mob. They're there. They text us, but they really twitch at you.
And they do.
The twitchers are very proprietary about the Mob, but I feel like the texters are also in the Mob. Are they warring families? I mean, now we're back to Tanny's, like, you know, Mob background. And
that's like some
mob stuff.
It is. But yes, mob, this is Lawrence. They know you already.
There's a call already, and it says, just take this. Yeah, should I take this?
Speaking of being available and people who want to welcome you, just take this call.
Okay. You're on Spiegel and Holmes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Lawrence, coach.
Coach!
To, well, wear your tennis shoes when I'm on.
Are we going to do some stuff, coach? Are we going to actually get up and do some movement?
Yes, we could do some movement. We could do some pass breakdowns. We could do some rush the passer. And now we got Twitch. We can have our own little show there, and Spiegs can be the referee and let us know what he thinks.
Sure. So whatever you want, coach.
So Spiegs, here's some of the background. Let me whiteboard this for the mob.
Please.
I used to host the Dave Wannstedt Show on NBC Sports Chicago. And usually what would happen is on a play breakdown, Dave would just kind of take me and move me around.
Yeah.
And we would simulate.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I am here for that. This, you got to understand that Dave Wannstedt is one of the good people in our business. I adore him. And I love that when we used to do TV together, we'd be in a break and I look up and Dave's got like a sheet of paper and a pen. And he's like, okay, I want to show you. I want to explain to you.
It's the great opportunity that Wani provides. So, yeah, Wani, you come in here on a Thursday, and if you don't mind, between bourbons, you could move both of us around and manipulate us.
You know what? I might. We'll discuss that this Thursday when you see me, but I can't. I got to go right now. I'm not available, and we'll catch up on Thursday, okay?
Thanks, love coach. You, coach.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
Kind of both now. See you, coach. Thanks for calling during your lack of availability. Strange man.
I love that man.
A delightful man.
Yeah, he just texted me. I'm on a call. All right,
okay, Dave.
Yeah.
You got the number. Buddy.
I'm never, ever going to turn down a phone call or a text message from that particular man. He's a good man and thorough. All right, so look, enough navel gazing. We've done enough navel gazing this morning. I am psyched to be here.
Yeah, man.
I am psyched to hang out with the mob. For real. Shout out to the mob, because I know that they have been super supportive over the last couple of weeks, and I want you to understand that that was incredibly important, and I appreciate it. I know that some of you all were like put in a bad spot, and I appreciate you supporting me, and I'm super happy to be here with Spiegs and with Tanny and with Shane. We are going to have some fun on the afternoon show. I even got a text message from Danny Parkins this morning.
There you go.
He gave his blessing. And look, here's the thing, Speaks.
Wait, from the TV? Danny Parkins from the TV?
From Breakfast Ball.
It's worth less. It's worth less once you go to TV. He's not in the business anymore. I'm
look,
sorry.
Hey, is this the holdup, like waiting for his blessing that he finally decided
that's
to
what
give
it was.
Someone?
Yes. The white smoke came out of Craig Carton's head, and that's when you knew that it's all good now.
Look, Speaks, I figured I'd wait a couple of months to tell you this, but since okay. We brought up Parkins, I'll just tell you right now.
All right, go ahead.
The only reason that when the bosses were like, well, what do you think about afternoons? I was like, oh, yeah, because to me, this is a direct line to Fox Sports.
Oh, there you
go.
So
look, if I can just be here in the chair for a while.
Hey, man, whatever it takes.
And then I call it dinner ball. I don't know. Then I can have a show over there as well. I think that's going to work out perfectly for me.
It's a succession plan. It's like when Reagan went from governor of California to eventually the presidency. You know, like every governor of California will eventually get there, theoretically. But look, here's the thing, Lawrence. I'm excited to work with you. We are excited to work with you. We've got a thing, me and Tanny and Shane, that has been developed, and all it was going to take was a very competent and willing talk show host. And frankly, we have overachieved in getting you. You are above the pay grade that we thought we were going to get. An extremely talented man who will understand everything and work facilely to adjust to everything, and we will adjust to you. This is, you know me, man. I love building conversational comfort. I love building shows and love having chemistry, working on chemistry, elevating chemistry. We have a high floor for where we are starting, and I can't wait to see where we go. Similar shout out to the mob for hanging with me for 5 weeks of Score Afternoons and then Spiegel and Company, but I'm ready to roll, man. You and me are going to make some radio magic.
All right, good. So let's roll and let's talk about the thing that people are tuning in to hear us discussing, and that is what happened with the Bears and their offense yesterday. Speaks, you brought it up in the meeting. I think we all kind of thought this was going to look differently from an offensive standpoint.
It's supposed to. It's supposed to. This was a big and crucial week for Shane Waldron to show us your adaptability. You are going against a Colts defense that had given up more than 250 yards in each game, the absolute worst rushing defense in the NFL, and you ran 28 times for 63 yards. And I know you ran it a little bit more than you have, but you're not doing it well. The way they are doing it is not working. Is it the finesse makeup of the roster without the beef and toughness on the line? Yes. Is it the way they're scheming and thinking about it? Absolutely, yes. I'm worried, Lawrence, that they have botched the offensive coordinator hire, and that it is 3 weeks in, and this team is screwed in terms of its offensive coordinator. I shouldn't be scared that much after 3 weeks, but this was a moment to adapt, and he completely and utterly failed the test that this week provided. You can't lose that game playing that poorly on the run against a defense that bad.
I'm not where you're at, where I think that the hire is bad. I'm not there yet, because there were some things that I thought were pretty cool. For example, the idea of getting Cole Kmet back involved. I think there's a triangle of trust, and that trust is Caleb, Kmet, and Rome. Them featuring Rome, and that's a little bit on Caleb, where Caleb said, look, we had been doing stuff in practice. I told Rome I was going to get him the ball more, and he went out there and did that. I do understand your trepidation, though, and the reason why I understand it is that this game set up perfectly for the Bears to run at that defense, especially when you don't have DeForest Buckner. Like, this set up perfectly for them to run and attack that defense.
You don't even have to be the big physical bully to do it. All you have to do is show the intent to do it. And there are so many red flags on them not doing it that way. I mean, due respect to DeAndre Swift, but like, this screamed for Roschon Johnson. The fact that they run those four plays from inside the five and eventually inside the one, and they have three wideouts, they're in the shotgun for all four of them. With three wideouts, they're trying to scare them. Like, that's their identity. They're declaring to the world, we're a three wideout team with our quarterback picking you apart. And if you're not looking, we might actually run on you, when that's not what you do. Matt LaFleur showed you the very week before, by dominating them on the ground, that's how you freaking beat them. And they didn't even try to beat them that way in the most crucial of moments, and it was embarrassing.
Let me match your fear with something that I think I'm probably a little, you know, over my skis on. I thought DeAndre Swift would be better. Like, coming into this season, I was going, this makes a lot of sense. He's the perfect guy to add to their offense, considering what he's produced in other offenses. I've been thoroughly disappointed. What is he averaging, like 2.8 yards per carry or something crazy like that?
I am too. And I was excited about the acquisition. I was excited about it, and I was looking at certain times and certain games where, as a member of the Eagles, he had really been a guy to lean on. But I think you have to look at it now and say that's the Eagles offensive line and the Lions offensive line, and he was a guy who ran in a lot of space. I mean, this game screamed for Roschon Johnson, and it screamed for him last week to get it. I was calling for it last week, and either I was a week early or Waldron was a week late. But I mean, there's some very basic things that he could have done and adapted with, and he did not. And it's scary.
Every offensive coordinator has to find what it is that he does well and what his unit does well. So I want to give Shane Waldron a little bit more time, but it was really, really a bad showing by the Bears, for sure. We're not done talking about this, and we're going to talk with you about this as well. 312-644-6767 is the number. When we come back, Speaks, game management, we got to talk about that. There were some things yesterday that went on that we've got some hard questions for Matt Eberflus, and so does a member of the Score staff. We'll explain next here on the Score.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Here's what we saw on the sideline right after the touchdown with Matt Eberflus and his staff. See, Eberflus, one coach puts up a one, and then Eberflus says, let's go for two. But Santos was already on the field, So they did end up having to use a timeout. We'll see if they end up needing that timeout later in the quarter.
Ultimately, as Jason detailed, I think it was the right call to try to go for two. Because either way, you miss it or make it.
Yes. You just hope not to make that decision while wasting a timeout you may need down the stretch of this game.
That's the only issue.
Correct.
That was on the broadcast yesterday on CBS, a broadcast that I thought was exceptional. I really thought it was strong stuff, and I thought that we got, instead of just moving on from some of those big moments in the game where there needed to be some analysis, I thought we got genuine analysis from two guys that played the game at a super high level, and they said, look, these are problems, and they and being on schedule with the guys in the truck, too, of them giving you the shots of the sidelines. I thought it was an excellent broadcast yesterday.
So we got a big pile of McCourties out there doing ball games and both doing very well.
Devin and Jason.
Yeah, Devin and Jason. But it's like Zellers and Plumleys, you know? I get a little confused sometimes, every once in a while.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But I thought Matt Eberflus yesterday. He got confused a lot.
No, he got very confused. But I agree that that McCourty and Tiki did a nice job breaking stuff down, including that moment. Lawrence, it's 13 plays, 70 yards on that drive. Take 7 minutes on that drive. You need to know some point very early on that drive that the idea, if you get six, is to go for two. You need to know so damn early. You've got 7 minutes to sort it out. Shane Waldron should have a play in his back pocket. Hell, you got time to have two different plays rolling around your head as you're deciding which one is your best. But to have that decision to be made in the moment that it was is absurd.
The observation by the broadcast team of one guy holding up a one, Flus holding up a two, there not being continuity in what it is they want to do is troubling. I wanted to share this with you and with the mob. Our guy, Chris Emma, from the Score staff, and check out his work on 670thescore.com, I thought was excellent in asking Matt Eberflus about some of the game management decisions. Take a very close listen to this and let me know what you think.
Time out there after that first touchdown with the field goal and the kick and T-bond sent out the 2-point.
Yeah.
What was the timeout about there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have to be better. We have to be better there. First of all, it wasn't as good as it should be in terms of our communication there. But we wanted to get a good play on there as well. And we like to play. You know, it just didn't work out on that particular one. But again, we have to be better. Stay ahead of it better, be better there.
When you say communication, you mean from the coaching standpoint, from the player's standpoint?
No, that's on the coaches. On the coaches, we got to be better there from the top to the bottom, you know, from upstairs down to the bottom. So we got to do a better job there.
And then the timeout right before the Taylor touchdown, was that just giving the guys a breather? Or was something you didn't like out there?
No, I'm just conserving time. I'm just conserving time there. They're going to try to milk as much time as they can, and I was just conserving time there to give us a chance. And at the end of the day, we did have a chance. I thought we did a really good job of scoring on 4th and 1 down there before the 2-minute because we were going to be onside if it got inside the 2-minute. But then we switched our mind and went to kick it deep. We kicked it deep, and they took a knee. You know, so now we got 2-0-1, and we got a timeout. And if we do a good job on the on defense, which we you know, first, second, 6, which is not ideal, and then they ran the power, you know, the bounce play, and JT got outside on us. So we just got to execute better on defense. But if we went 3 and out there, we'd have had 50-some seconds there with the ball coming back. And, not, you know, it's not on the onside part. We kicked it deep, so we'd have a better field position. So we felt good about that right there in terms of that operation. We just got to get the ball back for the offense.
But they didn't kick it deep enough. Shout out to Chris Emma for nailing down, like, and being specific in the way that he's asking questions of Matt Eberflus. I don't think that they asked him. I don't think that Flus is being completely truthful. And then later on, he said, look, you kick it as far as you can. Is what the quote was.
Because that's got to go out the back of the end zone.
Of course it does. Because what you did by kicking it into the end zone is you gave them an opportunity to go, oh, we can do something with this. We can take the ball out, and then we can eat up the 2-minute warning, which is what they should have done.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Shane Steichen was saying that on the sidelines, that they should have brought the ball out. The fact that you told Santos to kick it as far as you can, and you got to the middle of the end zone, is a whole nother issue. But Emma, I think, doing the really good job of asking the questions about how this is supposed to work. And clearly, Eberflus, he and his staff were not on the same page at the same time, and that's not good.
No, this is really pathetic game management stuff for the second week in a row. Last week it was the two challenges, that both of which got overturned quickly or got denied quickly. And then this thing with the two-pointer is just, it's absurd. So I'm glad that he's pointing the thumb on the two-pointer, by the way, and saying that's on us, that's not on the players, it's on us. But here's what I got to know is that, because he's got a guy on headset. Every team does now have a guy whose job is to think game management. So either that guy is bad, or Flus is not listening quickly enough to that guy and then communicating to everyone else. Because not like that person, that game management person, is on headset with Waldron, headset with everybody else. It's Flus's job to make sure as soon as they get six, they know they're going for two. And that Shane Waldron knows it even beforehand, so he's got the play all picked out. I don't know which is first. Like, which is it? Is the guy's bad, or is Flus bad at listening and then communicating down the line?
That might be the case. I'd hate to go super like rudimentary, but there's literally a card. And you have to, as the head coach, you have to be thinking, if blank, then blank. If blank, then blank. That's kind of the whole point of his job on game day. On game day. During the week, it's different. He's jumping in from room to room. But on game day, he is in charge of the strategy of the Bears. And that mechanism should be more clean by now, because this is year three. If this were a first-year head coach with a staff that he wasn't super familiar with, okay, but that's not what this is. I'm with you. I appreciate him taking accountability on that. Why are you smiling?
Because
we've been here before.
I like the guy.
Me too.
I like that the team plays hard for him, that there is buy-in, and we saw it last year in those final seven games. But this is basic, rudimentary stuff. On game day, you're 100% right. That's his job on game day, especially he's a defensive coach, man. So you're letting the offensive coordinator run the stuff. You got to know all of these extra things. That's your gig. It's right there for you, and it's so freaking obvious. And they had a 7-minute drive to get it right. It's like people are laughing. People are laughing again at the Bears for having a head coach that seems to not be able to do some of the basic game management stuff.
I want to see Matt Eberflus succeed. I like him, and I think that he's in his bag when he's talking about football stuff. Dan and I had, I think, and Layla had a great interview with him while we were in Vegas. The on-the-field stuff as the game is going on is supposed to be easier right now for him. And it makes me feel like he wasn't in the game as much as he should have been. Now, I get that things have changed from when he walked in the door, but when he walked in the door, he talked about being the CEO head coach, CEO of the sidelines, allowing your DC and your OC to kind of handle things while you oversee stuff. That's the part where you need a strong leader. That's where you need someone who's paying attention to what's going on in the game and thinking two steps ahead instead of just reacting to what's going on in the moment.
Absolutely. And what are we talking about? We're talking about him making sure that Richard Hightower knows not to send his kicking crew out there. Making sure the special teams coach knows, hey, if we score here, we're going for two. HT or HMAC, whichever one you want to call
them. Or knowing that you kind of need your kicker to kick the ball out of the back of the end zone. Is there someone on your roster that can do that? Now, I don't know. I don't know if Torrey Taylor has ever done that. I don't know if that's something you can ask him to do. But we saw some weaknesses in Santos yesterday. And it may have cost you. But also, game management, that's part of it. Hey, Cairo, what's your range? 54?
Yeah.
Go try this 56er.
Man, I got to say, I've had concerns about Cairo from the leg strength perspective for a long time. He's so damn accurate and he's so dependable that you're like, okay, this is all right. And he's gotten a little stronger and a little deeper. But you look around the league, they paid a kicker who's very accurate but doesn't have a big leg. The league has passed that by. at this point. Look all around the league. I mean, we saw it last week. We heard about it on Sunday night constantly. The 50-yard field goal is now the 300-yard drive, which was a good comp by Tirico and Collinsworth. I mean, look at these people. Brandon Aubrey and Kaimi Fairbairn and like
Justin Tucker.
Everybody. Legatron is on like his fifth
Harrison
different team.
Bucker.
Yeah, all these guys. That's you have to be able to do it in the NFL. And they paid a guy who can't really do it. And we've known that for a while.
That's Matt Spiegel. I'm Lawrence Holmes. When we come back, we need to talk about what's up with the Bears offense, because our next guest was paying attention while the game was going on, and he's got some thoughts. Kurt Warner is going to join us to discuss where the Bears are at and where Caleb Williams is at. It's Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.